You're listening to Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.
Let's go to the newsroom now. Find out what Shelly's got going on.
I just happen to have a meme up on my screen from recording the Facebook video earlier for the Rumble in the Morning page. It says, clubbing is for youngins. Us grown women want to travel, eat good, and get bent over on a balcony. So...
and get bent over on a balcony.
Yep.
Overlooking a panorama.
That's right.
Yes. I like it.
Coming up in the news, did they really find watermelons on Mars? And what held up the president's press plane? I'll tell you about that. It's all brought to you by Huffman and Huffman. $1.3 million for a car accident, $3.5 million for a commercial truck accident. Accidents do happen. When one does, call Huffman and Huffman, the brothers-in-law, at 422-HELP.
Nice.
So we now know what the ballot is going to look like in November. And more so, I guess, we now know what attack ads we're going to be seeing so much of. The Associated Press reports that in Virginia, Democrat Terry McAuliffe has handily won his party's nomination in his quest to return to the governor's mansion in Virginia. So, yeah, it's him versus GOP nominee Glenn Youngkin, who the Associated Press described as a wealthy businessman and political newcomer. Now, I don't think that's smack talking, but McAuliffe was yesterday.
Oh, he was.
Already on the attack as he accepted the nomination.
Glenn Youngkin is running for governor because of Donald Trump. I am running for governor because of you.
And Youngkin did immediately respond, describing Virginia as a state that over the past two Democratic governorships has gotten less safe, more expensive, and has been lacking in economic opportunities. Hala Ayala won the nomination for lieutenant governor, Mark Herring for attorney general. And those are some of the winners. You can find the full rundown as the precincts are reporting all their winnings online. The general election will be happening in November. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden, almost said President Trump there, President Biden going on a trip. He's headed out to the United Kingdom. It's the president's first overseas trip of his term. He's going to be gone for 8 days, ending with a summit with Russia's Vladimir Putin. We did already have a problem, though. So last time it was the landing gear issue on the vice president's plane as she left for Guatemala on Sunday.
Sure, sure.
They actually had to turn that plane around, brought it back here so they could fix it. Well, now we know a plane that was supposed to take the White House reporters to the UK for the G7 summit was delayed for 6 hours last night. And the cause?
Yeah.
Thousands of cicadas swarmed the aircraft.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
The plane was supposed to take off from Washington's Dulles International Airport at 9 o'clock, but the cicadas invaded exterior sections of the plane, as one NBC News reporter tweeted. Another reason to dislike cicadas, waiting to board replacement aircraft 6 hours later.
Wow.
The Washington Post says that reporters gathered at the Marriott Hotel near the airport. They were told by a White House aide that the insects had flown into the engine, which caused some mechanical problems that required the airline to obtain a new plane and a new captain for the flight.
Wow. Amazing. So is it true the cicadas were made in a Chinese lab?
It was like 3 a.m. when they finally took off, though. So
Washington is ground zero for this cicada hatch right now.
Yeah.
The Washington area is the most overdone area that there is. There's a great piece of video of a reporter in front of the White House, and the cicada lands on his neck.
Nope.
Ah!
Oh!
It's fantastic.
Yeah, thousands of them flying into the plane, into the engine. Yeah. The Washington Post report goes on to talk about, you know, like birds flying in the engine and how there are problems with that and how this is, I mean, equally, this that caused mechanical problems with cicadas in the engine. So, but that wasn't the only cicada issue in the news. A cicada was blamed for causing a car crash in Cincinnati. It buzzed through an open window. It got in the driver's face. The insect was part of a large swarm that descended on the black Chevrolet on Monday afternoon. Quote, one flew into the driver's compartment through an open window and struck him in the face, temporarily stunning him, police said. The distraction caused him to crash into a utility pole. He totaled his car with this. Police said that he was able to escape without serious injury, but warned other drivers to take precautions. Quote, remember to keep your windows rolled up until our little red-eyed friends are gone. They also put the hashtag, nothing good happens with cicadas.
Oh, I watched a lady cooking cicadas this morning.
Oh, yeah?
In pasta. Yeah. She was very excited about this, you know, once every few year delicacy.
As long as you're not allergic to shrimp and lobster, right? Wasn't
right?
that it?
Yeah, they're related somehow to shellfish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, periodical cicadas are swarming across the nation. They're part of the brood X, which emerge from the ground every 17 years to mate. The flying bugs survive for about a month, unless they get infected with that fungus that turns them into sex-crazed zombies whose butts and genitals fall off. But
yeah,
aside from that.
Hard to masturbate when your genitals fall off.
You know?
Yeah, when you're sex-crazed and you have no genitals.
Yeah.
That is really a conundrum.
It is. So the Associated Press is reporting this morning more bad news for President Biden and the goal that he's been pushing to get 70% of the United States vaccinated by July 4th.
Yeah.
The U.S. is on pace to fall short of that goal. The administration now insists that even if it's not reached, it will have little effect on the overall U.S. recovery from the virus.
Okay.
In the meantime, do you remember the pharmacist in Wisconsin who purposefully ruined a bunch of doses of the vaccine back in February?
I do.
Stephen Brandenburg is his name, the now former pharmacist. Uh-huh. He ruined more than 500 doses of COVID-19 vaccine on purpose. He was sentenced yesterday to 3 years in prison.
Good.
He pleaded guilty to 2 felony counts of attempting to tamper with a consumer product because, you know, COVID vaccine or not, you can't do that, man. He admitted that he intentionally removed the doses manufactured by Moderna from a refrigerator, left them out for hours to spoil. Then he put them back in the refrigerator, and at least 57 people ended up getting those doses that he purposefully ruined before authorities realized what he was doing. So he explained that he was skeptical of vaccines in general and the Moderna vaccine specifically. That was what he said in his plea agreement. But this was vaccines in general that he was skeptical of. He had been talking about this for years. So it's not just the COVID vaccine.
So are we to believe then that this is the first time something like this has happened in his storied pharmaceutical career?
Good question.
Or should we go back and have a look?
I bet they did.
You bet your ass. This is a plea agreement. This is the best deal he could get.
Yep.
You do 3 years and admit to all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they should have put him away for 10.
He said in a statement before receiving a sentence that he felt great shame. He accepted responsibility for his actions. Along with that 3-year sentence, he's also required to spend an additional 3 years on supervised release. And he will have to pay $83,800 in restitution.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you destroyed your own life. I don't know if he's got a family or not, but he certainly destroyed his own life in the process. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Your livelihood's over, and now you have a criminal record. You're a felon and a disaster.
Yep.
And personally, you're a puke. Go. I hope something bad happens to you in prison.
I did find it interesting. It's not just, you know, because COVID and vaccines are, you know, the thing we've been talking about in the news for, you know, the year, past year or whatever.
Right,
but this is just any consumer product. So no matter what it was, I mean, destroying any consumer, it's going to make top news because it's the COVID vaccine. But destroying any consumer product like that, especially that 57 people had injected into them.
They were injected with the stuff.
Yeah.
After it was known to have expired.
Mm-hmm.
And you did it knowingly.
Yeah, on purpose.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. That'll
3 years not enough.
That'll ruin your pharmacy career right there.
Yeah.
So trying to meet that July 4th deadline, goal, whatever, states are looking for new inventive ways to get people vaccinated. Washington State is pulling out all the stops. They are doing joints for jabs. They are giving away marijuana in exchange for vaccinations. The Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board gave state-licensed cannabis retailers permission to offer one pre-rolled marijuana joint, quote, to adult consumers who receive a vaccination at an in-store vaccination clinic. CNN reports the promotion is offered to adults 21 and older. It's going to end on July 12th. They were already allowing those who got vaccinated free beer, wine, cocktails, you know, if they were holding a clinic outside. I remember there was the one that was outside of a bar somewhere there where they were doing jabbing you out front and then liquor in the back. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah. So why not joints? I mean, it's just the next logical
step,
right?
It's just the next extension, right?
Yeah. In Washington, 48.7% of the state's residents are fully vaccinated. They're hoping to get that number to 70. Sure. Elsewhere, so they reported watermelons are on Mars.
Who reported this?
And then they had to take it back. The New York Times.
Oh, my.
They actually published.
That proves what so many people think about the New York Times.
They published and then deleted a story. Their claim was that fruit aliens are responsible for a field of watermelons on Mars. The article appeared under the headline, Fields of Watermelons Found on Mars, Police Say. And then the report was written by Joe Schmo.
So this whole thing was like a demo.
You can see it's looking fishy already.
Yeah,
and yeah, the article appeared on the Times website. It's a part of an online internal test that was mistakenly made public.
Uh-huh. That's
Oops.
Great.
Oops.
Good for their credibility.
But everybody jumped on it. Like, whoa, look, they're saying watermelons were found on Mars. Fruit aliens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, totally not.
Gotcha.
But there is something neat happening in the skies tonight, if we can get those pop-up storms and clouds and stuff out of the way. There's a ring of fire eclipse happening.
What's that?
It's a solar eclipse. The maximum eclipse will happen at about 5:40 a.m. According to timeanddate.com, our area... I don't know why Time and Date's the one that put this together, but they put together where you can put in your zip code and find any area to see how well the viewing will be. So for our area, we will have a partial solar eclipse, visible about 45% coverage of the sun. It's going to last about an hour and 48 minutes. Sunrise is at 5:45 tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the eclipse will be happening from then until about 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, all right. So it's not tonight. It's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow during the morning show.
Yeah, I guess early in the morning. Yeah. They say that that the date has been cloudy 51% of the time since the year 2000, which was kind of an odd fact to throw in there, but the forecast is cloudy and cool at the time. I thought it was weird that they used the word cool, but the further north you go, the better the eclipse is going to get, but we might see some of it. It is a rare ring of fire solar eclipse, so they do warn, do not look directly into the sun.
Don't.
Yeah.
They warn every time.
Well, yeah, because it could do some serious damage to your eyes, you know, staring directly into the sun.
How about sunburn in your eyes?
Yeah, that would suck.
Yeah, very much.
To see the eclipse, they say you can use special solar eclipse glasses. Do you still have yours from a couple of years ago?
No, I don't remember where they went.
Yeah.
Didn't we all get them? I thought we did.
Yeah, I remember a lot of people ordered them. You can also create a pinhole projector or use a solar filter on a camera or binoculars.
Yeah, I'm not going to be, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I've already seen eclipses and oh well.
Yeah, well, the full one we got back in 2017.
Right.
Yeah, but the next one like that's going to happen April 8th, 2024. So
yeah, my son and his buddies packed up and actually chased that one so that they were dead center underneath it.
Oh, really? Just like
when it happened.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
pretty cool. Yeah, so
back
in
2017.
Like went dark.
How?
There's a track.
Okay.
The eclipse takes a track across the United States.
All right.
So there are some viewing points that where the states are better in certain states and areas are better than others.
Okay.
So they got directly underneath the path of it.
Oh.
Yeah, it went through like Nashville or someplace, and that's where they all congregated.
I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I'm like storm chasers? Like they just follow?
Well, it's better. If you go back and look, there was a swath where it was dead center over the United States.
Right.
Virginia wasn't in that.
Nope.
You could see it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you didn't get the darkness.
You didn't get the pitch dark or the very darkness. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said it was incredible.
I remember that was, I hid during that one because there's like some superstition about being pregnant and having the eclipse sun touch you. So I hid. And you were also supposed to put like red underwear on your head. So I hid in my bed with red underwear on my head.
Jeez. You better dust them off again.
You gotta quit reading the internet.
That's true.
Get off the internet.
So, you know, stuff like that's fun. It's silly. So, I did stick the camera out the window and got some cool pictures. But
cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting, I guess.
I know. Yeah. I thought that would make for a fun memory of it.
Yes.
Good times. Yeah, good times.
All right, finally this on the news today. Today, the Loki charms go on sale. You know, the Loki version of Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
But there's a superhero-themed story in the news today as well. Some jerk stole a guy's Avengers-themed prosthetic leg after he was hit by a car.
Oh, my gosh.
The guy, Christopher Harris, was injured. His, estranged wife, Carrie, talked to reporters about it.
The only thing I can think is that they thought it was funny. They liked the Avengers. They thought it was worth money. Maybe they could pawn it, but it's priceless to my daughter and to him. It's a person's leg. It's his body part. It's part of who he was.
Now, she's talking about him in past tense, but he is still alive. The longer version of the story from WFLA says that 49-year-old Christopher Allen Harris was walking in a crosswalk in Florida around 10 o'clock. He was hit by an Infiniti G35. He was injured pretty bad, but the impact of the crash knocked his prosthetic leg off. The leg then hit another vehicle that was headed east on Fifth Avenue. According to police, the leg was then stolen before officers arrived at the scene. It is customized with Marvel artwork, and it is worth $15,000. So, yeah, Carrie shared that they did split up. Her and Christopher did split up, but they do share a daughter together, and she wanted to see his prosthetic leg returned to the rightful owner. Her plea for help worked because police received the prosthetic leg. He does remain in the hospital recovering.
Got it back.
Yep. Got it back.
Wow.
Yep.
Someone stole it.
What I know.
Wow.
Just find a prosthetic leg on the road, and you're like, oh, I'm taking
this. Oh, this will be cool. Bro, I'm going to make a lamp out of it.
Yeah. Oh, geez. And that's probably bring it home, put it on Etsy.
You know, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what else you would do. Around here today, we do have a slight chance of some showers and thunderstorms early in the day. After 3 o'clock is when they're saying a better chance of those. Partly sunny skies, otherwise highs near 90. And it's like pop-up showers and thunderstorms. So I was listening to your buddy, actually, Craig, was talking about how like your neighborhood could get dumped on this afternoon, but the neighborhood right down the street, see nothing. So it's kind of random pop up. Hopefully it
holds
out.
That happened to us on Sunday.
Yeah.
There was a thunderstorm that just popped up over our house. Boom.
Yep.
It wasn't anywhere else.
We were over at a friend's house swimming in Kempsville. And and the storm was right over us.
Went straight through there.
Yeah. But nowhere else. So southwest winds about 10 miles per hour today. A chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Cloudy otherwise, 72 is the low. And then for tomorrow, a chance of showers, thunderstorms possible. It's partly sunny otherwise. Highs a little bit lower, only into the mid-80s for tomorrow. Right now, we are at 76 degrees. And I am Shelley for Rumble in the Morning on FM 99.